My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 15th of September. The time is 8:15 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to state your name, date of birth, and where you've come from?
Lisa Hunt, 2nd of the 5th, 1981, and I have come from Highbury in London today.
How long have you lived in Highbury for?
Oh, about 6 months.
Where did you move from?
I moved down from Nottingham.
How long had you lived in Nottingham for?
Previously to that, I lived in Nottingham for 4 years. I did a master's there in environmental law.
And what are you doing in London at the moment?
I'm currently working as a biodiversity officer for the Bats Conservation Trust.
Do you mind elaborating on that?
I suppose biodiversity is the first thing that I need to kind of elaborate on. I suppose it's the variety of life and all of its organisms, plants, animals, and all the genetics, and it sort of underpins everything in the whole entire ecosystem, which is kind of quite broad. So thankfully I just work for the Bat Conservation Trust, which is just one species. So I work doing the policy and lobbying, that sort of thing, and writing guidelines for best practice for managing woodlands and things like that.
And what got you into biodiversity?
I suppose what got me into biodiversity was always being outside when I was younger, and just sort of playing around and always being quite fascinated with all the smaller things, the creepy crawlies and anything that you sort of had to look a little bit harder to see.
Where did you grow up then?
I moved around quite a lot as a child. My mother's an academic and my father's a landscape photographer, or was at that time. So I was actually born and raised in Israel until I was 12, and we moved backwards and forwards between England and there. And so half the time in Israel and half the time just in a place called Leamington Spa near Stratford-upon-Avon. So spent a lot of the time, yeah, I suppose playing around, because you're sort of the new person, you're always trying to find friends. So that's probably why I like being outside a lot.
How was your feelings about Israel?
Well, it's a great place to grow up as a child. It's really great weather, and I think at that age you're not really aware of politics. So I think it was a great time to be there. You know, the sun shines every day. School finishes at 1 o'clock. So it's fantastic. But I think, you know, now I think it's complicated and you sort of realise a bit more about the world as you get older. So I think I'd probably find it a bit more difficult to be there.
Have you been back recently?
No, not that recently. No, haven't been back for a while.
And what influences were there that made you live in Israel as a child?
Well, I suppose it was my parents. My mum went out there to do a PhD in anthropology, and my father went out there. So he's German, and he was doing a project, an agricultural project out there. So they met when they were out there, sort of gap year students. So it was really their choice, not mine. So I think, you know, it was sort of a roots trip and an adventure for both of them, and then they liked where they were and then we came along.
What are your current political views on Israel?
Blimey. I just would really like everyone to stop arguing. That sounds like a really lame kind of thing to say. I mean, I don't want to start preaching about my hardline politics, but I do think that peace should be involved quite strongly in the future. Whether that's achievable or not, I'm not sure.
You mentioned politics. What particular hardline views do you have?
Well, they're not hardline views, I suppose. I suppose if I had to be pinned down to say anything, I'm probably a woolly liberal, maybe. A woolly liberal / tree hugger with an element of pragmatism mixed in. So I suppose my politics are, I don't believe that anyone should be treated as a second-class citizen, and I think there should be equality. I suppose that would be my political view.
And how do you find the equality in London?
Ooh, London. Well, I've only been here for about 6 months, so it's quite hard to gauge that. I think wherever you look, you can always see differences in the workplace, in school, jobs, on the tube. You know, all in all, it's a very diverse city, and I like that. But I'm sure there's always going to be elements that you don't like about somewhere, but let's just hope that things are changing for the better.
You just talked about your political views. Describe what led you to these views.
I suppose if it was deep-rooted, it would probably be because my background is it's quite mixed, and it's particularly different. I suppose my dad is is German Protestant Lutheran. My mum is sort of Eastern European Jewish, sort of in her heritage. So there you've got straight away, you've got massive differences. Growing up in Israel, my mum worked doing medical projects for a Palestinian Bedouin that lived in Israel. And my father worked as a shepherd with a lot of Bedouin Palestinians there. So we've always been raised in quite a diverse environment. And we've always come up against people who will always feel quite strongly about certain aspects of your upbringing, I suppose. There are always people that may not like Germans, or people who don't like Jews, or people who don't like people talking to Bedouin, or people who don't like English. So I think I'm just too much of a mongrel to expect anyone to not find something that they dislike about my background, if they're of those particular views. So I suppose that's why I'm pretty liberal.
Have you found there's been much prejudice about your cultural heritage?
I suppose growing up, yeah, you're always aware of it. You know, there've been points in my life where it hasn't been particularly nice. But I think as you get older, you understand that it's not really about you, it's about the person who's got that view. And I think that's the great thing about getting older. I think as a child it was a lot more difficult, but you know, now I just let it run off my back, really.
Also, big turning points.
Big turning point. Probably, but I can't say it was a big epiphany or anything. I think it was just about getting a bit more comfortable in your own skin. I think most people would say that as they grow older. You know, there's a point where you suddenly realise that you're not obsessing about what you look like in the mirror or what other people think, and you're not really sure what it was that made you feel like that, but you're just really glad that you've come past that point.
Just to take you to the clinic, how did you first hear about the project?
I first heard about the project, I think it was through the press, and I come into London, into central London, to look in the galleries quite often because it's a really nice way to spend a bit of time after work. It's quite relaxing. So I've walked past quite a few times and decided that, seeing as I very rarely win anything, I'd put my name down. And then lo and behold, I'm sure everyone said it, they weren't expecting to be here, but here I am, about to go on the plinth.
How did you feel when you found out?
Really excited. And then that was followed by nerves, and then that was followed by panic again, to sort of think about what to do. So it's been sort of waves, peaks and troughs. I think, you know, anyone who says they're not nervous has got to be kidding themselves. Surely no one can be that calm and collected.
What is it that makes you think that people will get nervous before going on the plinth?
Oh, I think it's just the thought of everyone looking at you. You know, and you want to engage with people. I think what I found most difficult was trying to come up with something that you obviously always want to have a message or give it, well, I would want to have a message, and I'm sort of trying to find something that people could engage with but also get something across was a bit of a challenge. So I've decided to have fun primarily and try and get people engaged.
Do you mind expanding what you will be doing for your
Yeah, well, as I said, I work for the Bat Conservation Trust, so bats aren't really very charismatic. A lot of people don't like them. They've got quite a bad press. So I suppose it's trying to get them a bit of a friendlier picture in people's minds. So what we're going to be doing, what I'm going to be doing is hopefully sending down paper bats which people can write their names on, and then they're going to get sent up and be attached to balloons, and there's going to be a big flying colony of bats in the end, multicoloured with lots of people's names on. And then, you know, I'd like to say it was art, so it's open to interpretation, the message I'm trying to give, but I'm sure I'll start preaching and giving some facts and figures at some point.
And what do you hope to gain from the experience?
Good memories. Feeling, I suppose, yeah, a bit empowered, because it's something that I wouldn't necessarily put myself forward to. I'm not really a prima donna, don't really like being centre stage, although some people may disagree. And just to have a bit of fun and, yeah, do something different and be part of something that's bigger than yourself, if that doesn't sound too cheesy.
And what are your views on the project?
I think the project's great. I think it's a great way to give people a bit of time, you know, a bit of time for reflection or to get their message across or to just do something different. I think it makes it really accessible, and I think a lot of people have really enjoyed it. They seem to, anyway, on the plinth, and I think that's the most important thing.
And what are your interests outside of work at the moment?
Ooh. I suppose anyone who would know me would probably say that food features quite heavily. Food, eating, cooking, that's all kind of my main interest. It's a big passion of mine. Yeah, just generally seeing people, talking to them, and yeah, going for walks, the general thing. But I suppose, yeah, food features probably top.
What particular kind of food?
Oh, anything. It's just cooking relaxes me, and it's always been a passion. So it just depends what you want to do. The one thing I'm not very good at is baking, so that's my challenge for these next few months, is to learn to bake without forgetting essential ingredients like sugar, baking powder, which keeps happening.
What's your favourite kind of food?
Favourite kind of food? I suppose it just depends on the time of day. Love barbecues, love anything my mum cooks, really. Anything that's sort of comforting and reminds you of, gives you a nice memory of something, I think. That's probably my favourite. But yeah, to pinpoint it would be impossible. I'd have to list about 1,000.
Whereabouts are your family living at the moment?
My family live in Leamington Spa, just outside Stratford-on-Avon in the Midlands.
Do you get to see them often?
Yeah, quite often. It's a nice place that it's often on the way to places, and I like going home and visiting and getting a bit of country air. And they like coming down to the big city to go to the theatre, so it works out quite well, really.
And how would you describe your relationship with your parents?
That's a bit of a psychological question. Good. I think I'm very lucky. My parents are very understanding, and my brother and sister are too. We're quite a close family. We enjoy each other's company, lots of laughter, very honest, you know, so get things out and then laugh about it. That's generally the approach. So yeah, I'd probably say I'm very, very lucky.
And what do your brother and sister do?
My sister is quite a bit younger than me. She's about to go to university. She is going to Oxford Brookes to do human biology. Almost forgot that. And my brother works as a human rights lawyer in London.
Do you know what stemmed his interest in human rights?
Oh, I'd probably say, a nice way to say it is, you know, his inherent caring about other people. But that is actually quite true. He's just very caring, and I suppose we've all grown up to believe in everyone deserves, yeah, as I was saying before, equality. So I suppose that's what he specializes in, access to medical healthcare for people that don't get it normally. So that's what I think drives him, really. It's just sort of equal rights for everyone. Oh, I sound like I'm preaching and should be putting my hand up like that.
Do you not like preaching?
I think it's great to discuss, but I don't like to seem like I'm preaching and forcing my views on other people, because I think people can get a little bit, no one wants to be told what to think or what to do. I think, you know, it's important to debate things, but I don't want to try and force people's opinions to change, because I don't think that really works. I think it's a sort of gentle feeding in process, and people make their own minds up about things.
As you know, this project's about a portrayal of modern Britain. So I'm going to ask you if you can to paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life.
Oh, blimey, paint a picture. Is that in terms of who I am? Right. God. I suppose I'm on the cusp of still being wide-eyed and slightly ideal in my views. Still enjoying life, hoping to experience as much as possible. Not jaded yet, hopefully not going to be. And generally, I think I'm probably quite a positive person, or I try to be most of the time. And yeah, just smile a lot, laugh a lot, and have nice food and drink.
What would you like to experience in life?
In life, I'd probably just want to be happy, I think. I think in an ideal, I'd just like to be content and at peace. Sometimes you question whether that's even possible with human nature, whether people are always striving for more, and whether, you know, you're always going to be pushing yourself. But I think that's probably what I want from life, just to be happy, and for people that I care about to be happy.
You mentioned human nature. What are your thoughts on it?
Overall, my thoughts on human nature is, as I said, yeah, quite a positive. I don't want to sort of rule out everyone, but I think being a scientist, being an ecologist, and, you know, having studied animal behaviour quite a bit, I suppose I question whether we've got that inherent feeling that we're always striving and competing, and whether that's underlying within us all, which is why I sometimes worry that I'm never going to be content, because if I'm always looking to add another string to the bow or do something else, I think that's really what I mean with human nature. And that's how I sort of see it driving most things, like business and money or children or anything really.
And where would you like to see yourself in the future?
I suppose doing something that I enjoy with a family that I love being around, and just, yeah, I don't know where that's going to be, whether it's going to be in England or beyond, whether it's going to be the countryside or the city, but I just hope I'm with someone that I love and surrounded by lots of people that are happy, I suppose. That's not a hippie answer.
Do you have a family of your own?
Not yet, no. Which is probably why I've got that fresh-faced, let's do as much as I can while I can. No, I don't at the moment, but it's something that I definitely would like in the future.
Do you feel that family restricts you?
No, not really. I suppose it's kind of a joke at this sort of time in your life as you get to your late 20s. But no, I don't think so. I think, you know, if you want to go and do anything, you can always, you know, bundle people along with you as they go, especially kids. You know, I grew up like that, so, and hopefully I'm quite well balanced.
You mentioned that you've been brought up half in Israel, half in England. Could you see yourself living in another country?
Yeah, I could do, if the sort of opportunity came, or if it was something that I wanted to do or my partner wanted to do, then yeah, I'd never rule anything out. You just never really know yet.